are serving a specific purpose that's very important and will become more and more important as this economy in the documentary space retracts. The festivals will, in some cases, maybe be the only place to see independent films that don't get picked up by the fewer and fewer streamers as they consolidate. But on the festival end, and if properly funded, which I think the philanthropic world needs to reconsider also for those festivals that are nonprofits especially, is this opportunity to be a screening space for people to open up their minds.
Well, welcome to the Woodstock Film Festival podcast. Let's talk film. I'm the host today, Adam Chartoff. A real pleasure to introduce old friends of mine, Michelle Stevenson and Joe Brewster. You guys have a feature film you just showed at the film festival's off-season series called Going to Mars, the Nikki Giovanni Project. And also you had a short that actually played at the festival. It's an ESPN short called Black Girls Play. And we'll also mention a little later, go into a little details, but congratulations. I understand this is the first time that a producer slash directorial director, co-director, co-producer pair has been nominated in the same year, the Cinema Eye Honors, for both a short and a feature in the same year. So that's a big deal. And we're going to talk about a little bit about all of the above. I do want to also mention that the 25th, I guess that's, what is that? What anniversary is that? The 25th anniversary, 25th season of the Woodstock Film Festival will be taking place in 2024. It's the next festival. And it, I guess the silver anniversary, is that what that is? And it's going to take place from October 15th through the 20th, again, next year. It is the 25th Woodstock Film Festival, the silver anniversary. And I hope you guys, Joe, Michelle, can at least swing by. I know you have a home in Woodstock, but given this last year, anything like 2024 is anything like this last year for you guys, I'm not predicting anything in terms of your schedule. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, Myra has already invited us to the festival, and the food's good, so we're coming.
I love it.
Yes.
I mentioned this among a bunch of other things a minute ago, that you guys, all this whirlwind of circumstances you guys are caught up in this last year. But I did mention that you just had a screening at the Bearsville Theater for the Woodstock's Film Festival's off-season screening series of Going to Mars, the Nikki Giovanni Project. And I wanted to ask how that went.
Well, I thought it was a new thing, but it was amazing. It was full. It was exciting. Like you know, let me just say this. We noticed difference in audiences. Some audiences are vocal. Some audiences are not vocal. It doesn't really say much about how the film was appreciated. But this was a very vocal audience. I would call it like a black audience. And they were humming and howling. And it was great from a filmmaker's point of view. But actually, the discussion was pretty powerful as well. I think it's a very intellectual group. What do you think, Michelle?
No, it was very it was a very responsive back and forth with the audience. So very much appreciated that. There were a few sort of Nikki Giovanni fans, who were grateful for, you know, the contribution and the interpretation of her poetry in the film. And so it was just a very warm, it felt like home. It was really a very warm environment. And we were actually really pleasantly surprised to see how many people were there, which is good. And the interesting thing, I hadn't been at the Bearsville Theater in a while, and the work and the renovation that's been done is just amazing. So it's really sort of this center for communing, you know, and it's really comfortable. Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic to hear. I'm very happy.
I would say the interesting thing about the audience, I mean, you know, I think Nikki Giovanni and Woodstock community, I think, have a lot of sort of parallel things going in terms of commonalities. But at one point, we got into the discussion of space and quantum physics, which I appreciated, but the idea of what could the film represent. And so, you know, in an extension of what Joe's talking about in terms of it being intellectual, I think there was a reading on multiple levels of the film that, you know, you couldn't be happier about that.
The film had its festival premiere at Sundance, did it not?
Yes, and we won the grand jury prize at Sundance.
That's awfully nice.
Yes.
when you can get it, we take it.
Yeah, I understand completely. That's for anybody who doesn't know, getting a top award at Sundance is a very valuable currency for any independent film. I wanted to mention real quick that you guys, I mean, when I heard about American Promise 10 years ago, I was very interested. I met in your home. We did my podcast, which is called Film Wax, not to in any way suggest people go to, you know, subscribe or anything or share and like it. I mean, by all means, but that was a very special, experience for me. So on a personal note, it's just really nice to remain connected to you both and see how you guys continue to evolve as filmmakers. And I personally saw the Nikki film. I saw Nikki Giovanni, the Going to Mars Nikki Giovanni project at another festival, not too far away. Joe, you were there. It was in Massachusetts. So it prevented, right? We couldn't show it at the Woodstock Film Festival during the actual conventional festival itself.
Yes.
There's all these.
Well, I think it was, that was not the reason. The reason is that we've been so busy. We couldn't attend the festival during that period.
Right, that's right.
And that's the advantage, that's the disadvantage or downside of winning a big award. You become popular.
So, all of a sudden you're in demand. Yeah.
And so,
yeah, there was also the New York Film Festival that we were at that right. Was that exact same, is it the exact, those dates cross each other. Yeah.
But I would say that the disadvantage of not being at the festival proper with the feature was a big advantage. We really had a wonderful experience, and we were the center of attention for a day in Woodstock. And so I would recommend, not that people avoid the festival and come back to the post-seeming screenings, but I really recommend the Woodstock post-screening series.
I don't know how long Myra's been doing the series, but it seems like a really perfect perfect additional programming for the region in terms of people being able to make it. We had a few people who drove an hour to come for the screening, but it feels like the region can certainly support or sustain an additional series beyond the festival.
And I don't know what our ultimate goal today in terms of discussing, but this is the intelligence that we heard. There were so many filmmakers that moved to Hudson, Ulster County, that it's brimming with filmmakers.
It is.
And in fact, we have four or five that actually were involved in the in making of Going to Mars, who live in Catskills, Saugerties, and Woodstock itself, Kingston.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, no, it is a definitely a hotspot. You're right. You're right. So there, you're right. It's gives kind of a rationale for showing having a year round in a way of kind of a year round festival. Now, another reason why your screening did so well, besides the fact that you're both you make good films and you're both kind of popular, and that is that there wasn't competition at the same exact time with another film. I mean, that's always the trick of a festival, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So. Hopefully it will continue the screening series.
You did mention, or we all mentioned, that you did show a short called Black Girls Play at this festival, that you were able to get there at the tail end after the New York Film Festival screening. You were able to show the short, which is fantastic. And obviously, been also creating some buzz as it's a Cinema Eye Honors nominee. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. And I remember seeing guys there, that's right, for that that day. Right, Michelle, did you end up making it to Woodstock?
Not for that screening. We had another festival at the same time I had to go to. So wow. we split up. I don't know how single directors do it. Maybe they split with their producers at that point.
Well, that's what they do. And yeah. In a way, you can say you did do that because you guys are producers as well.
Yes, right? As well. Yeah.
Well, talk about a little bit about, we can talk a little bit, while we have some time, about how you do manage to prioritize. If you've got so many film festivals that are really interested in showing your film, how do you figure it all out like that? What goes into it, into all those choices? You can remain a little vague. You don't have to like go and use festival names. I understand why that might not be a good thing to do, but just talk about the process maybe a little bit.
Well, you're going to the underbelly right now. because, you know, on one hand, it's about whether you can get in a festival. It's an honor to be accepted at almost any festival. And so, but when you win a festival, and Black Girls Play won Tribeca, you have a lot more demand. The other interesting thing is that both of these films are on Academy runs. And so there's a team behind both films, and competing teams, one at HBO, the other at ESPN. At one point, we were considering whether it would make sense to have two films on the circuit that were basically getting requests to be shown every week. But you know, we believe in film festivals, and even though we're not paid for it almost often, our goal is to get the work seen. And sometimes a film festival is only way to be seen. But more importantly for us, film is a communal activity. And so without audience, and communicating with that audience, we basically don't have much of a future. The interesting thing about American Promise is that we stopped going to film festivals and we prioritized community screenings. We had over 200. And after we weighed that experience, we thought that although we created this great following is around the country. We thought it was missing something, and some of the community members that we would like to be included are professionals that go to these festivals. So what we try to do is do both. We have we're dedicated to outreach with Everyday Joe and Michelle's, and we're dedicated for our work to be seen by community members, many of which work on the project, some of which we want to work with in the future, And some we want to finance our films. All of that is happening.
Joe would say, you know, if it were up to me, I would say yes to all the festivals that reach out to us. Because I have a hard time saying no when you have a film that's out there and people want it, you know. But I think that festivals are serving a specific purpose that's very important and will become more and more important as this economy in the documentary space retracts. The festivals will, in some cases, maybe be the only place to see independent films that don't get picked up by the fewer and fewer streamers as they consolidate. So on a streamer side, it's a glim sort of picture for independent filmmakers that don't rely on them to, you know, to finish their films, but look for acquisitions or later investments. But on the festival end, and if properly funded, which I think the philanthropic world needs to reconsider also for those festivals that are nonprofits, especially, is this opportunity to be a screening space for people to open up their minds, right? Not necessarily be a platform for sponsors films, but really be a space for those independent voices that otherwise may not be heard. The other secret for me is we are often combine community outreach at each festival we go to. Mm-hmm. We don't necessarily leave it up to the festival. For example, yesterday, we had a screening in Montreal and we did outreach. I did outreach to community. Of course, many were family, but if it weren't for our outreach, as I was looking at the audience, it would not have been a diverse audience group appreciating the film. So while the festival platforms are important, it doesn't mean that there's the capacity or the bandwidth to do, you know, specific outreach that's needed. So we have to get our hands dirty to really take advantage as much as possible of those screenings.
Mm. Thank you for sharing all that. You know, I mean, for most people buy the occasional ticket to a film festival, they don't understand the gravity, not only for filmmakers such as yourself and for their health of their film, but also for the festivals. I mean, once you got that award we mentioned earlier at Sundance, it really all of a sudden, you know, your film went from, I'm sure, just driving at a nice, comfortable, you know, speed to all of a sudden being jettisoned into the, you know, going to Mars. And, you know, but also from the festival side, it's very hard. Festivals are also working under, you know, mm-hmm. pressure to try to find films that will bring the audiences out and sell tickets, and so and try to get those, you know, those very hot films like
I do want to say something about that. We don't, as festivals, want to repeat what often marketers do with certain films with streamers, right? There is an expectation that we're going to program films that we think people will come to, as opposed to the flip side of the role of a festival is to expose people to different ideas, to different things. Right. So they come out of it, you know, somehow enriched. And we certainly had that experience at, for example, True Falls in Columbus, Missouri, where, you know, it was a you know, predominantly white sort of space. They loved our film. There was one of the, you know, a standing ovation after our second screening. Wow. From, you know, a group of people where, you know, a prior True False might think what our film was not relevant to, right? But in fact, so I do think festivals need to think outside of the box. Otherwise, you're just repeating the same market.
If done well, a festival can, you know, also, yeah, like, you know, lead the conversation and create an appetite.
Well,
it's Festival's demise is going to be due to their refusal to market. And what we find with our films, since they're primarily the subjects are primarily of color, we found that the second screening is usually double the number of people in the first screening because of that word of mouth. That's a form of marketing. But we've been disappointed when we go into a festival and we look at the resources that they put behind certain films to the echo chamber. And there are beautiful films out there that don't get seen even in the film festival. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we fundraise for that. And it's just part of our practice. And people think, oh, people showed up. No, we got postcard guys going around town. We have sponsors for the festival when we can. It's easier in some places than others, but I just think it's part of the process of filmmaking. Like, how do you create an audience? And we've been working on creating audience for 20 years. So we're good in certain towns. And in certain towns, it's a lot harder.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Invaluable stuff. Thank you. I wanted to, before we end, I did want to like at least show people, and I meant to do this earlier, but I did want to, maybe we can watch part of the trailer here, and people get a taste of this very special documentary. Again, it's called Going to Mars, the Nikki Giovanni Project.
I brush my teeth, I smile, but there is always this frown. I'll run away with the ants and live on Mars.
I'm fortunate because I'm a poet and poets are allowed to be hopeful.
I used to dream radical dreams of blowing everyone away with my perceptive powers of correct analysis.
I don't remember a lot of things. But a lot of things that I don't remember, I don't choose to remember.
Childhood remembrances are always a drag if you're black.
I remember what's important and I make up the rest. That's what storytelling's all about.
I even used to think I'd be the one to stop the riot and negotiate the peace.
Would you ever say that some of your poems were inspired by stress or hate?
Were you ever bullied by your skin color when you were younger?
Have you ever had like a breakdown or you can't take anymore where you just can't do it?
But there has to be a way to do what we do and survive.
Our ancestors taught us how to do that.
The one thing that I did know is whatever life would be, I knew I had to create myself.
To successfully go to Mars and back, you will need a song.
And maybe a six-pack. So if there is life on Mars, you can share. Popcorn for the celebration when you land, while you wait on your land legs to kick in. And as you climb down the ladder from your spaceship to the Martian surface, look to your left, and there you'll see a smiling community quilting a black-eyed pea, watching you descend.
Thank you for allowing me to show that trick.
Well, I want to say a few things about that.
Okay, but I wanted you to do that. But I want to mention that it will be on HBO mm-hmm. In early January, and so I'm sure we'll be helping to promote that as it gets closer to the premiere. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I think in addition to the archival and the cutting style that you'll see, you know, that we film glimpses of. There's also an ode to our attempts to get the audience comfortable with going into the mind of Nikki Giovanni, so much so that we show an image of, you know, her mind basically floating with her memory.
Yeah.
And that was, we felt necessary to prepare audience for a different kind of experience. Like, this is not an experience where you go in and you show something and explain it. What we're trying to do is build upon the images in the film, be it montage, archival, verite, and every build actually expands the possibility of the complexity of the story and sometimes the ambiguity, so that the audience leaves with a different kind of emotional experience. We're not explaining shit to everybody. Mm-hmm. Excuse my French.
We're in Montreal, by all means.
I'm in Montreal.
And yeah.
Where I lived for a while above a repertory theater right down the street, and I saw a movie almost every night. That's probably where my medical career basically was ended.
And yeah.
I began to, you know, think cinematically, even in, you know, when I'm seeing patients. But I don't know if I'm answering your question.
Yes. Yes, beautifully put. Yeah, you're one way or another. If you're not saving lives, you're improving lives. You're, with your films. Michelle, any last thoughts? I mean, I want to respect your time, guys. Oh, and one question. Maybe you can answer this, Michelle. Black Girls Play. Mm-hmm. How people see it? Is it available to see currently?
Yes, Black Girls Play is out now on ESPN 30 for 30 platform. And yeah, we released that on November 12th. So check it out, streaming. And
well, what's it about, Michelle? What's that film about?
It's the film that impact. The film, I know, Joe's like,
No.
He's always pushing questions at me when there's a moderator around to do that job.
No, I'm grateful, actually, because I.
So Black Girls Play looks at the large impact on popular culture of the hang games that Black girls play.
Okay,
it's sort of an unsung impact. That's never really been, the veil has never been really lifted. And there are a couple of academics who've done, ethnomusicologists who've done the research on what these polyrhythmic patterns of invention and innovation that young Black girls have done from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. And we look at how it infiltrates every aspect of popular culture in this country.
But more importantly, you can expand that to look at how it's affected sport, American oratory. Mm-hmm. And we are suggesting, as well as others around the world, Black cinema. And it's a really interesting way to look at musical culture and how it is pervasive, and it's a part of our everyday life. In terms of how we speak to each other, how we communicate with each other, how we inspire other people. And it's not just to be seen as, you know, people being rhythmic. And so it's very exciting. Even here in Canada, it is the rhythmic culture of Africans who changed hockey and created the modern hockey game.
Mm.
So anyway, Black Girls Play is really a mind-bending experience, looking at girls, young girls who haven't been given credit for their contributions to this musical culture and the outcomes of that culture.
Thanks for re-explaining, Joe.
You're welcome.
I love it. I couldn't be in that. I'm in my happy place. That's all. If you think I'm going to be uncomfortable at all, it's not possible. It's not. I lived in this place most of my adulthood, so I'm happy to be with you guys. All right, so we have two film projects. I wish you luck at the Cinema Honors. Those are in January, aren't they?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I used to go to some of those. And, you know.
Well, it'll be our first time. Is it a double whammy, but it's also our first time as rookies at the Cinema Eye.
I wish you all the luck in the world, although luck may not be what you need. I mean, it seems like you just need somebody to carry the awards home.
you want to help, Adam?
Yes, sure. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, this has been great. Filmmakers, if you're watching, and I know you are, don't wait too long to start submitting films for the 25th Woodstock Film Festival.
And we will be there, too, to enjoy it.
All right. Thank you.